from runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 306 with guest Tony Redman, recorded Tuesday, February 19th, 2013. Run As Radio is produced each week by Quap Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and you're listening to Run As Radio. I'm at the MVP Summit and hanging out with a bunch of MVPs, and I ran across Tony Redman. Hello, Tony.
Hi, Richard. How's things?
You know, no rest for the wicked. I always enjoy being here. We, you know, nonstop, constant input, and more things to do than I possibly have time for.
Absolutely.
And you, of course, you're an Exchange MVP, I presume.
Yes, I've been an Exchange MVP for the last 10 years.
And it's the 20th anniversary of the MVP program.
It's the 20th anniversary. I don't know what happened to the first 10 years.
So, has Microsoft actually shipped Exchange 2013 at this point? It's out?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the software out and available. The RTM, the release to manufacturing date, was in October, shortly after the Exchange conference, along with the rest of the Wave 15 Office products. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the current state of play is still that you can only deploy Exchange 2013 into a greenfield environment. And I do know of a number of greenfield deployments that are ongoing. But, you know, if you put that in the context of the overall Exchange community or user base, whatever way you want to put it, we're still seeing it's very, 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 very small amounts of deployment.
Sure. Okay. I mean, it's interesting to me that to be in this greenfield scenario, what is that? I mean, who's doing Scratch Exchange installs these days?
Yeah, that's a good question.
And if you really could start from scratch, wouldn't Office 365 be your automatic default? That's an awful lot of stuff.
Oh, I believe so. Absolutely. Yeah. For any small to medium business, I think that they need to take a really long, hard look at themselves if they're going to think about doing an on-premises Exchange mm-hmm. deployment right now. Especially as a greenfield deployment. Clearly, if you've got Exchange already and you've got expertise and you've got, for example, a lot of add-on products that you use alongside Exchange, then looking at a new version of Exchange is still an attractive notion. At least it's one of the options that you absolutely have got to consider mm-hmm. for your going forward plan. But if I was a small shop starting up, I think I'd be the first to Office 365. In fact, I use Office 365 myself.
Sure.
I do not run a production Exchange server for my own email mm-hmm. or my company's email. It's all on Office 365. And that's simply because, whereas I absolutely have the skills, yeah. I absolutely have the knowledge to run an Exchange 2013 server, keeping it going on the road, if I'm in America and the server's in Ireland, yeah. is not a particularly good thing to do.
No, it takes a lot of time to keep it healthy. I think with your expertise, you know better than most how much care and feeding it is to keep an Exchange server healthy.
Well, I would hope that with my knowledge, I'd be able to keep a well-fed Exchange server going. Mm-hmm. But I that's not the point. I think the whole point of Office 365 is that for a fixed monthly fee, you basically get out of the mundane operations that are involved in server care and attention. I mean, installing software on a server, let's face it, is frankly boring.
It's tedious stuff, and you can mess it up.
I don't care about messing it up. Messing it up actually makes it a little bit interesting because you have to find out where it went things wrong. But let's face it, even a successful server installation, I mean, my gosh, how many times do you have to see setup.exe running?
Yeah.
And the answer here is zero.
Yeah, you really don't want to at all.
Yeah. So, however, that's not to say, and you should not interpret my comments as saying that on-premises Exchange is going to go away. Oh, I don't believe it will go away anytime soon because there are many instances where it's required either to satisfy privacy concerns, mm-hmm. security concerns, specific application concerns, the business needs of an organization. But that still doesn't get away from the point that if you're a customer running Exchange today, I think you need to have a look at Office 365, mm-hmm. at least to know in where the value lies there, or if the value lies
there. Well, I think you need to be able to answer that question to your employer, that you have looked this product over and here's what you see.
Yeah, and one of the things I keep on saying to people is, don't let sales people who come in waxing lyrical about the fixed price per month of Office 365 dictate the conversation. Mm-hmm. If you don't know how much your current implementation costs, if you don't know the value that the current implementation delivers to the business, if you don't know what your users think of the service that they're getting today, then the single price per month data point is the thing that will dictate the conversation.
It'll end up taking over everything.
Absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely.
You got to do your own homework.
Absolutely.
So what's making 2013 a greenfield product right now?
Simply because the bits that are necessary for Exchange 2013 to coexist alongside legacy versions, or so-called legacy versions, you know, depends on your perspective, and 2007.
Right.
Okay.
But you get back to the core reality, which is if I have an existing infrastructure, it's currently all running 2010, maybe some 2007. And so if I'm going to bring in 2013, I've got to be able to have the AD stuff properly coexist. It's got to be able to add to my existing infrastructure, and then I can migrate up.
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. I mean, clearly the Active Directory schema has got to be updated so that it's got to be that the multiple versions of Exchange can coexist, because they all use the Active Directory to store the configuration data.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get down to even more fundamental things, such as the Exchange transport systems have been able on the different versions have got to be able to exchange messages.
Sure.
You know, that's clearly a bit fundamental.
Fairly important.
Fairly important. And things like transport rules have got to be able to work. Mm-hmm. And there's lots and lots and lots and lots of detail. The disappointing thing is that we were all expecting Exchange 2010 Service Pack 3 to come along with the bits that are necessary to coexist with Exchange 2013.
And as of this recording in mid-February, I mean, SP3 just came out.
SP3 just came out, and so did 2007 SP3 roll-up update 10.
Okay.
And these were the versions that we really expected to coexist with 2013, but then Microsoft, right at the last moment, it seemed the people that were in the know, or the people who were expecting, they said, oh, by the way, you're going to need Exchange 2013 Cumulative Update 1, CU1. That's the magic key to the kingdom. That's what you're going to need to coexist. So we're still in a holding pattern, if you were, waiting for 2013 CU1 to come out. It's the official date is by the end of the quarter.
Okay.
And given where we are now, you could say that, well, gee, it must be imminent, mustn't it?
Yeah.
We would hope it's imminent.
You'd think,
but we haven't seen it yet. Well, when CU1 comes out, then we'll be able to proceed. And I sure hope it comes out soon, because what's really hurting at the moment is the sheer lack of data about production deployments, how it's working,
performance
and all the rest of it. Yeah, we're also hurting on a number of other fronts as well. I mean, basic things. Microsoft haven't released performance and sizing guidelines
for
2013.
And this is they've added some fairly hefty features. Like, their numbers are going to be different than what there was in 2010.
Oh, numbers are going to be very different. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have simplified things quite dramatically by making first the client access server is basically a stateless server. They have put a lot more functionality in the mailbox server role, because unified messaging is there.
Mm-hmm.
They have basically dumped MAPI RPCs in favor of HTTP as the default protocol for a mailbox.
MAPI's finally going away.
Well, no, that would be a mistake to say, but basically they're forcing clients to now use HTTP. That becomes the default protocol. So, and then there are little details that will really catch you in terms of planning. For example, the maximum number of mailbox databases that can be mounted on an Exchange server drops from 100 in 2010 to 50 in 2013.
Hmm.
So you get into all sorts of things, and this means that tools like the very good must be the Excel mail worksheet from hell, but the Exchange 2010 mailbox, I forget what the official name is, but it's basically You plug in a whole pile of data about how many databases you want, how many servers you want, how many copies you want, and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And it calculates out what you need. And that kind of, I think it's the mailbox server calculation requirements, calculator, whatever.
I know
the
one you're talking about, but I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, it's on version 272 now. It's the world.
It's a really good sheet. Like when you plug those numbers in, it's right.
No. I wouldn't say it's right. No. That would be going too far because essentially any automated tool that spits out a plan for somebody really only represents the knowledge that the author or authors of the tool can bring. And though the folks that put together this particular tool are very knowledgeable, their knowledge misses out one huge factor.
Mm.
And that is information about the business requirements and information about the operational requirements mm-hmm. for a particular company.
Right.
So you can take the output of this tool, and I'd say look at it, and then apply your own knowledge of what your company needs and what you're trying to do with Exchange to come up with the final plan.
You're basically putting a factor on that one way or the other.
Yeah, I would never take the output of any of these tools and say, well, there you go, that's it.
We're good.
We're good. We'll just do that. That would be stupid. In a nutshell, that would be stupid.
Yeah. You've got to understand your own business.
So we're missing a lot of that sizing and performance guidelines. Mm-hmm. And that's a big change.
Because we now know they've changed between 2010
and 2020. We've always known that they were going to change. I mean, right from the get-go when they started talking about simplification of server roles, when they started talking about the fundamental change in protocols towards a HTTP world. I mean, they talked about separation. The ability, what they're doing now in these new server roles is that they're setting down the foundation for Exchange to be able to be upgraded in the future without the tight version dependency that exists today. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't go and upgrade an Exchange 2010 client access server and leave it running 2010 mailbox servers in the back end. The two don't meet.
Right.
Right. So the plan in the future is that you'll be able to go and deploy new versions of client access server without touching the mailbox servers and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So this will offer a lot more flexibility. So we've known all this is happening. And indeed, Microsoft had known this is happening for longer than anybody else. So the lack of guidance mm-hmm. in things like performance and sizing information is puzzling. And it's particularly puzzling insofar that Microsoft is going to be using 2013 as the basis for their refresh of Office 365. So you got to think to yourself, gee, you know, you guys have got a lot of information. Why aren't you sharing the information? And that's a really big problem in my book right now.
Yeah, it's really an odd situation.
It's an odd situation to be in 5 months after formal product ship. So that's one big issue.
I mean, it speaks to me that for a lot of us, it means we should just be waiting. Well, why move now? It sounds like too much risk.
Here's another thing. You know, no Exchange server stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
No production Exchange server stands on its own. You know, we have dependencies, things like backup utilities.
Mm-hmm.
So where are your backup utilities now for Exchange 2013?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's...
I got to imagine the vendors are all stuck too.
Yeah, they are. They're waiting. We're look around for production quality backup utilities for Exchange 2013. And there's a big fat void.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to be X many weeks after this thing is...
Well, here's the point again. We're 5 months past RTM.
Right.
And we don't have updates for many of the common products that people run alongside Exchange. I mean, when I think about it, RIM has, or BlackBerry now, of course they are, because they've changed their name.
Hmm.
They've been waiting for an updated library so that the BlackBerry Enterprise server can be updated. Symantec have brought out a new version of Enterprise Vault that will support, 2013. But apart from that, gee, you know, there's haven't been a whole pile of announcements I've seen coming out.
Yeah,
so it's very quiet, and that's somewhat distressing. And then another thing that I think that's going to concentrate people's mind is the salient fact that once again Microsoft has made it so that you need a client upgrade if you're going to use some of the features of Exchange 2013. Right. So
you've got to be rolling out Outlook 2013 as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you want to use some of their whiz-bang wallop stuff like site mailboxes and an integrated search experience across SharePoint and Exchange, well, you know, guess what? That's SharePoint 2013 as well. So, oh, gee, you know, this is a complex situation.
Well, putting the Office deployment requirement out there basically means you're going to push us out. Because it's one thing for me as an Exchange administrator with my squad of Exchange servers to contemplate adding the new features in and so forth. But to go talk to the guys running the Office deployment, that's a much bigger deal. It's so many more machines.
Yes. To Microsoft's credit, if you look at their new click-to-run technology that mm-hmm. they've got for Office 2013, that may be a solution in the future. Because the biggest problem that administrators have had is the sheer amount of time that it takes to deploy new versions of Office right. to desktops.
Literally the time it takes.
The time.
Yeah.
So with better scripting, better automation, and technologies like click-to-run, I see light at
they
the end of that particular
more,
tunnel.
More quickly. Yeah.
However, that still doesn't get past two other problems. Mm-hmm. Technology never solves all problems.
No.
So the two bigger problems that are left are finance is one.
Yeah.
People is the second.
Sure.
And we all remember the problems that occurred when people were real life users, you know, not nerds, not techies, mm-hmm. not geeks, but real life users, people who actually use the stuff to
real
to do
mortals.
Work. Real mortals. People with souls or something like that. But anyway, when these folk were confronted with the ribbon with Office 2010, it was uproar.
No, sure. It was a huge hit to productivity.
It was a huge, right. So now they're going to get a different ribbon. Office.
Yeah.
An office that has a remarkably different feel about it. Mm-hmm. There are some very nice things in the new Office. I mean, Outlook.
I really like Outlook 2013.
Oh, I think it's great.
It's very attractive.
Very attractive. Yeah. I like the pop-out windows for things like tasks and calendar. I like the ability to do inline edits for replies. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Some of the things that are in there that people get very excited about, I care less. I mean, the integration with something like some of the apps that are shipping. Yeah. Interesting, but not useful to me as a user. But that right. doesn't take away from the fact that it's a nice advance. It opens up a new method of customization. And I could see that some very intelligent people will be looking at that, figuring out how they're going to really use this new point of integration to develop new and exciting applications that leverage Outlook. But the point is, it's new. Mm-hmm. And new stuff means that users have got to be prepared for it.
Got to commit to some training.
Yeah, they got to. Yeah, and organizations have got to commit to it. Mm-hmm. When you look at in some of the other things in the other Office apps, I mean, there are some nice features in Word. I guess I'm fighting a battle with Word at the moment.
Word's done everything I needed to do many, many versions ago.
Yeah, kind of Word 2.0.
Yeah.
That was a really good
4.3.
Yeah. Oh, I like Word 0. Word 2.0. I think that was the first version I really used in. But no, probably Word 2000 was where we
pretty much got to where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So just dealing with this context of
we are rambling a bit now.
We're going on, but I think you get to this important part that Microsoft has pulled these products more and more tightly together.
Yeah.
Exchange has got some ties into SharePoint and Link, and is certainly in the feature set.
If you wanted to. I mean, it is worthwhile stating that you don't have to integrate these all together. Exchange does a perfectly good job
mm-hmm.
sitting on its own.
But some of these features we want to take advantage of.
Oh, yes, I think so. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the SharePoint integration is very attractive for mm-hmm. people who have to deal with the big nagging question of compliance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, Exchange is an extremely good mail server.
Yes.
Extremely good. It is an absolutely crap, if I may say so, document management system.
Okay. We've been trying to get rid of public folders for a long time for a reason.
Yes, and even modern public folders, as opposed to the ancient public folders mm-hmm. that we've had up to now, they are still a very bad document management solution. Mm-hmm. SharePoint, on the other hand, has got very good, very nice document management capabilities. So, and that's the reason why people go and deploy SharePoint. Mm-hmm. So creating a link between the two in the form of things like site mailboxes or an integrated search capability is very good when you're dealing with compliance. On the other hand, if you don't think that you need this functionality, you can run Exchange by itself.
Absolutely. Well, and when I see the link and Exchange working together well, that concept of presence within an organization and
yes.
all of it, it's gorgeous.
Yes.
But it's also a very large commitment. There's a lot of moving parts to making that work well together.
And actually, that's one of the areas where Office 365 scores enormously for small to medium companies mm-hmm. because you just don't have to do any work. Microsoft does all that work for yeah. you. I have done nothing to make Link work at Exchange for my company. It's just done for
us. It's just there.
Yeah. So I was on a Link conference call the other day with about 82 other people. It was a Microsoft hosted call. And immediately after the conference finished, there in my mailbox was a recording of all of the comments made during that conference call.
Wow.
I didn't have to do anything for it. It's the same thing with SharePoint. You know, SharePoint is integrated with Exchange out of the box for Office 365. Mm-hmm. So I won't have to do anything to get site mailboxes working. Mm-hmm. Microsoft will have done all that heavy work for you. And again, that speaks to the value of having the mundane issues of software installation and configuration taken away for you for small to medium businesses.
But I think the way you're describing it right now, those issues are not mundane. It's very challenging right now to put this infrastructure together in 2013.
Well, that depends on your capabilities.
I guess.
And that depends on how much time you want to give to it.
Well, and certainly you're waiting for CU1 before you're going to do much of anything.
Well, you are, yes. But that still comes back to the point that it's given the amount of information that's available to any technologist today on the web or blogs, Microsoft, TechNet, whatever, mm-hmm. it doesn't. Integrating these products isn't hard. It's just detail-oriented, and mm-hmm. it just takes time. So it's mundane work.
If we had more documentation so that we could start making those calculations, it'd be easier. But at this point, we really don't.
Well, we have all the documentation for doing things like installations. It's the sizing information that mm-hmm. I think that we're a bit remiss in at the moment. And that's the stuff that we've been waiting for Microsoft to come out with. I mean, they've talked about some stuff. They've said that, you know, their IO profile has improved again over Exchange 2010. Mm-hmm. And that's all very well. And they've talked about, they're making advantage of the larger disks that are available today so that you can put things like multiple databases on a disk for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, all very well. But, you know, these individual data points are just that, individual data points that right. don't really make up the cohesive story that you need to have to be able to say, well, okay, I know about these things. What's my production server going to look like?
Right. Well, and actually building a comprehensive plan.
Yes. And everybody can go and build this. I mean, it's not that difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But A, you have to have the knowledge. So that means a little bit of time spent researching the subject. And B, then you have to put it in the context with the business requirements, which you should also have. And then C, you have to actually sit down and chart it all out. It's so much easier if Microsoft does that heavy lifting for you, you know, to do the,
sure.
so that the knowledge is built into something like the spreadsheet. And then it spits out data that you then take and put into context for your organization. So that's what we're waiting for. And as I say again, I'm a little bit surprised that they haven't shipped that kind of thing.
It's taken longer than expected.
Yeah, yeah, surprisingly so. Now, of course, I could argue against myself. Being Irish, I can argue against myself all day long. Yes, it just goes with the territory.
Yeah.
But I could argue the point and say, well, you know what? Would you prefer them to be doing things like engineering all of the bits that are necessary for coexistence or focusing on some of this balance and whistle stuff?
Hmm.
And there is a case to be made that, yeah, let's dedicate all available engineering resources to get the coexistence stuff out the door. And I suspect that they've been very busy with that. And I suspect that they've been very busy in preparing Exchange 2013 for deployment into Office 365.
Right.
Because, you know, once they make that switch over, they're then exposing the code to literally millions of users. Mm-hmm. And they really can't afford to mess that up.
No. And there's only so many of these premium resources inside of Microsoft that know Exchange backwards and forwards. They should have their eyes on the cloud piece right now. It's a logical place to be looking until that's done, then we can get them turned around and look at the other parts.
Yeah, and some people would wonder, well, you know, Google makes Gmail and their apps work all the time, mm-hmm. and you don't really see this kind of transformation that Office 365 is going through. But that's ignoring the point that Google started with a blank sheet of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they designed their own file system. They designed their own basic operating system from Linux. They designed their own hardware that they're running on. What Microsoft has done is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it's quite an achievement when you look back at where we were, say, 6 years ago.
Sure.
With Exchange 2007. I mean, nobody could have thought of that being taken. And
no, they really have transformed Exchange.
They have, absolutely. And they've transformed SharePoint, mm-hmm. and they've transformed Link, and they've transformed the operating system. Because, I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at Windows Server 2012, and you see the amount of automation that's present there versus, say, the one that
2008 was R2.
Well, maybe 2008 mm-hmm. as a base, you know, or even Windows 2003, because that was the de facto server.
That was sort of the
platform.
Last of the old
really,
OSs.
Yeah, exactly.
It really changed. And I really had the sense that Server 2012 represents all of the learnings from being in the cloud that's made a much better operating system
yes,
for us
on-premise.
And I had the same hope for Exchange 2013, that they were going to take their experiences coming out of running Exchange in the cloud, and we'd get a much more mature, a more highly automated version. It doesn't seem to have worked out that way.
Well, no. I disagree, actually, because I think there is quite a lot of feedback from their experience in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a couple of things I'd say. Firstly, there's this introduction of the new managed availability system within Exchange mm-hmm. and workload management. They're a lot more sophisticated in 2013 about how they monitor the overall health of the server.
And that really does feel like something that came from the cloud. Oh, that's exactly what you'd need to build.
Without a doubt. Deploying automated probes around the server to measure the health of components, and then giving managed availability the tools to make decisions, the intelligence, if you will, to make the decision about how to respond to a bad probe or a bad result reported by a probe, to restore a component to health, from anything like recycling an application pool up to the most fundamental one, which is, of course, what all good administrators do, mm-hmm. head immediately to a system reboot.
Right.
Right? You know, there's nothing that a reboot won't cure,
fix.
Right? Okay?
If it won't come up, it was broken anyway.
That's indeed true. So, I mean, that is there now
mm-hmm.
in 2013. And this is the first version of the server where such an automated system for health measurement and proactive intervention exists.
Right. The good version of that is we are dealing with preventative medicine right now, anticipating problems with the system before they become serious.
Yeah. And when you think about it, this is exactly the kind of thing that they need to do inside the data center, because mm-hmm. they can't afford to have administrators running around running perfmon on servers.
No.
That just doesn't happen. So that's one example I give mm-hmm. you. The second example I give you is just the continued work within the Exchange Store, which, by the way, has been completely rewritten.
Hmm.
In 2013. In fact, they've given the store a good old colonic irrigation here.
So the store itself is fundamentally
different. It's rewritten into managed code, which is the reason why you sometimes hear Microsoft people talking about the managed store. And a great benefit of that, of course, is that they've been able to remove a whole pile of old rubbish that's been cluttering up the store for years. You mm-hmm. know, code that existed for particular conditions that happened in Exchange 2003 or 2003 SP1 or whatever, mm-hmm. and that don't occur anymore. All that old rubbish has been moved out. And what they've done now is that they've got the old information store process. It still exists, but now it's running in the form of a controller. And then every database that's mounted on the server has a separate worker process. So that if a problem happens with the database, it can only affect that worker process. It won't affect every other database on the server. Again, the type of thing that you'd see
exactly
in a data center.
Yeah.
And also then when you take that into account with their constant focus and consistent focus over the last number of years on IO. I mean, when you think about it, Exchange 2003, 10 years ago, it was all about SANs for big deployment. SANs, big, ugly, expensive, prone to failure SANs. Right?
It was.
Right. And, you know, you had SAN magicians who would come in and configure a SAN so that the right storage would be given to Exchange. And Exchange at that point in time was consuming about one IO per second per active mailbox on a server. Now it's down way under 0.2.
Wow.
And the result of it is, Exchange is quite happy to run on these low-end disk systems. And again, what do you want in a data center? You want stacks of low-end disks because, by gosh, you don't want to be paying the price tags for high-end enterprise disks.
No, and just replace them when they break and swap them, move off the hardware when it's got problems and keep on going.
And again, another feature from the data center, they've got a thing called auto-reseed in Exchange 2013 so that if a database copy goes bad, you can have things set up so that Exchange will know that database copy has gone bad. Okay. Go and create a new database copy in this particular disk. Again, automation, the type of thing you want in a data center, because the last thing that happens in a data center is for an administrator to walk along and say, oh, red light and disk, must go fix, and then go fix all the other things. That's absolutely what you don't want to happen. So I guess, you know, in summary, really, and in where we are now with Exchange 2013, it's been out for 5 months, but there's only really been greenfield deployments. We're still waiting for all the bits necessary for coexistence to happen. When that occurs, you'll see the floodgates open and a lot more deployments will happen. But some mitigating factors exist insofar as we're still waiting for some of the tools. We're still waiting for some of the third-party applications that are needed to allow deployments to occur.
Actually support our Exchange ecosystem.
Correctly. Exactly, yeah, to build out that full ecosystem. And people still need to figure out, you know, what kind of Exchange deployment they're going to run in the long term. Is it something that's going to build out with things like SharePoint and Link? Is it something that's going to have Outlook 2013 as its premier client? Or will they simply go in the cloud?
Yeah. All those choices are still open to them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But great to talk about.
Yeah. Well, and even the hybrid environment of, you know, I'm going to have some stuff on-prem and I'm pushing some stuff into the cloud, that's becoming clearer as an option as well.
Yes. And again, when you look at what's in 2013, there's a lot of experience that Microsoft has acquired in the cloud and it's now been brought to on-prem. And is used for both on-prem and for hybrid environments. A good example of that is the new migration service that originally started life as the onboarding tool to bring mailboxes across the internet from an on-prem server into the cloud.
Right.
And is now running inside Exchange 2013 as the basic way of moving mailboxes around.
Yeah. So it's used everywhere.
It's used everywhere.
Do you think the cumulative updates, you know, I hate all the different terms. Is it a cumulative update versus a roll-up versus a service pack? You know, it's just going to be how, I guess we're not really going to know at this point. Cumulative update one, we're just going to have to go with it because we're not going to be able to use anything else. Yes. It'll be sometime later before we see a service pack one.
If you ever see a service pack one.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. Yeah. I mean, Microsoft is clearly reacting to the competitive pressures that exist from Google and others. And they've done what I think is a smart thing, which is to align and close the gap that had opened up between the on-premises code base mm-hmm. and the cloud code base. It's now one code base. It's one engineering right. team. You know, that's all very intelligent.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea. But downside of that is, okay, the cloud guys want to, as they put it, light up new features all the time. Mm-hmm. On-prem folks aren't quite so happy about lighting up anything unless they have control. But, you know, hey, we get these cumulative updates. Now, sure. the real thing that's lurking in the background is exactly what Microsoft's support policy is going to be. Will they force on-premises customers to deploy specific releases of cumulative updates to stay under support?
Yeah.
Or will they allow them to keep running, let's say, CU1 for 6 months or 12 months?
Mm-hmm. And still provide them support, even though CU2 and CU3 will come out
right,
by then.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the announcement that they made, they indicated, no, this wasn't going to happen. You had to stay current.
Right.
And I'm not sure that everybody has quite adjusted that reality yet.
Or much less pushed back so that perhaps they'll change their minds.
Well, you have to digest the reality first before you can
actually realize how big a deal that is.
And that I think is a space to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's going to need a couple of large enterprise customers to have a little chat with their Microsoft account representative to say, you know what, see Fig 1 here.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that'll happen. Or maybe I'm mad and people will say, oh, this cumulative update stuff is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
I'm putting it on automatic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going with it, Microsoft. I'm all in.
Oh, Exchange. It's the only code base I'm really afraid of.
Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Embrace it. It's really nice once you get in. But it's a bit like, I guess, diving into a very cold sea.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very attractive from the outside, at least to some people.
Yeah.
But just getting in there takes an awful lot of bravery and a little bit of terror.
If you're not afraid, you're not paying attention.
That's right. There you go.
Tony, thanks so much for chatting with me.
No problem, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.